Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm preaching on the story of the Transfiguration, chapter 17 of Matthew. Two things happen in it. As I talk to the children, Jesus is revealed to the disciples and they're told to listen to him. So Heavenly Father, speak to us through this word. As you've spoken to people through it for generations, since you first spoke to the apostles, and as you speak to people all over the world today, hear our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen. Something amazing is happening in many Muslim countries. Because it's so dangerous for Christians to speak openly about their faith in Muslim countries, God often speaks to them direct. People feel so empty and so crushed by the cruelty of the laws that they have to live under in these countries that they're hungry for more. They know there's got to be more and they're hungry for more. They want God to be their friend. If there's a God, they want him to be their friend. And then God appears to them often in a light, in their sleep, wakes them up, and there's God. And he says, come to me. Or he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And instantly they know it's Jesus. Even if they've known nothing about Jesus before, they know it's Jesus speaking to them. Their prayer is to Allah, but Jesus answers the prayer. And they know immediately that God is personal and that God loves them, which is something they've never known before. And the next day or a day or so later, very often, God sends a messenger, another Christian, a secret believer, and somehow they meet up. And that person tells them about the love of Jesus. And gives them a Bible often because they can't get Bibles in their countries. And they read about Jesus in it. And as they read the very words in it that they've been told in their dream in the night, their vision in the night. And then that person leads them to a group of Christians who meet secretly because it's too dangerous to meet openly in most places. And there they worship Jesus and they learn about Jesus and they grow to love Jesus and discover how much he loves them and forgives them for their sins. It almost makes you want to live in a persecuted country because the experience of Jesus is so real and so vivid. We want to see Jesus, said some Greeks to Philip one day. Do you want to see Jesus? Oh, good, good. Jesus led Peter, James and John up a high mountain. They didn't know what they were in for. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun and his clothes became dazzling white. Moses and Elijah appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. The disciples liked it so much that they wanted to build some tents up on the hill so that it could last and last and last. And you can't blame Peter for wanting that. Don't we want those great moments to last? If we've had some great spiritual experience, don't we want that moment to last? Or if we've had some great family celebration, wouldn't it be good if that could happen again? Or we go on a great holiday like we've never been on a holiday before and we think, that was so good. Or we win the grand final. That's something else, isn't it? These disciples saw Jesus in his glory, in his beauty, in his brilliance, in his light. They had a foretaste, as one of the hymns, I can't remember what it is, says a foretaste of glory divine. They had a glimpse of the glory which the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit share together all the time in their heavenly life. In Jesus, heaven was wide open, and the light and the beauty of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, were shining through the face and through the body of Jesus. And it was so good. And if only it could last forever and ever and ever. If only we would have this great desire to see Jesus as he is, as he is, as he really is. And in him see the Father as he really is. If only we would say with those Greeks, we want to see Jesus. And that's why I use that reading for the call meeting this morning, because that's pastor's job, to make Jesus clear to people. And that's all of our job, I might say, to make Jesus clear to people who have no idea what Jesus is about. And that's pretty much everybody. If only we would say with David, King David, one thing I've asked of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Those who look to the Lord, he goes on to say, are radiant. It's not just God who's radiant, but his people begin to radiate that same beauty of God. And can't you see it sometimes in people? You think, oh, I reckon that's a Christian, you know, because their face is radiating something. Amongst a whole lot of dull faces, there's one that sticks out. And it's not just because they've had a good coffee or something. Their faces are never covered with shame, David says. Those who look to the Lord, their faces are never covered with shame. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Now, when I hear King David speak like that, I think, that's what I want. I want to experience the Lord like that. I want to gaze upon his beauty. I want to enjoy the pleasures of living with him forevermore. That's what everybody wants, you know, whether they know it or not, whether they're believers or not, whether they're good or bad. That's what people want, without knowing that's what they want. C.S. Lewis says, we are far too easily pleased. Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition, when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday by the sea. We are far too easily pleased. And yet we're not pleased. We're looking for contentment and joy in all the wrong places. And I'm saying that in general. I'm not saying that you personally are, but in general people are doing that. God has given us so many good things on earth, like marriage and family and the beauty of nature and work. Yes, work, a good gift, and sport and holidays. And I've got etc. then, so whatever else you think is really good in life. And yet mostly we're looking for more. These good gifts from God do not fully satisfy. You know why they don't? Because they're not meant to. None of these things, good as they are meant to fully satisfy us. St. Lewis, C.S. Lewis, right, I haven't even got Saint written here, C.S. Lewis goes on to say, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that, what do you reckon? That I was made for another world. Isn't that an outstanding quote? That's a terrific revelation, I think. And St. Augustine says something a little bit the same, which you've heard a thousand times. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. We are searching for something more than any of the good things of this earth can ever give us. All these good things for which we seek and which captivate our lives are not the thing itself. They're not the thing itself. And C.S. Lewis goes on to say, they are only the scent of a flower which we have not found. The echo of a tune we have not heard. The news from a country we've never visited. Like seeing a slideshow. Besides getting very tired watching it, think it's a beautiful country, but I'll probably never get there. And so Jesus leads his disciples up a mountain and shows them his glory, shows them who he really is, shows them he is truly God, that he's truly beautiful, that he's filled with light, that he's filled with purity. He's filled with love for people. As Bach wrote, Jesus is the joy of man's desiring. And it's so good. It's so good. It's like the disciples feel, at last we've discovered what it's about. Life. So, King David again says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with the living God? You can do it right now. A pastor once told his youth group that, he said, God speaks to me every day. And the youth rather liked the sound of that. And they said, how does he do that? What's he sound like? Is he young? Is he old? And the pastor said, well, he sounds very much like the Bible to me. Pretty simple one, isn't it? Listen well to when God is speaking to you today in church. And listen to him every day, especially in this Lent season, listen to him every day as he takes you on a journey to a cross. The more you listen to him, the more you'll see him. As the song says, and we're going to sing it soon, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Not give me new glasses, but open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. I want to see you. Take time to listen to God and to look at God in his word and whatever other ways he shows you himself. Don't miss the opportunities to listen to Jesus and to see Jesus. There's so many opportunities all around us, in the people around us, in worship, in the word of God, in the sacrament. See Jesus well when the light is shining, when times are good, the darkness is bound to come. When it will be hard to see Jesus. Deafness will creep in when we can't hear Jesus. Loss of memory will take over. When we can't remember the beautiful face of Jesus anymore or the loving words of Jesus. Remember in the dark what you've learned in the light. See Jesus so well in the light that you'll never forget his loving face in the dark. As Jesus was speaking, a cloud came over them. And terror gripped them. Suddenly darkness envelops them. And terror grips them as it does. Every day has its fear and its fear not. Every day has its joy and its sorrow. Just as we are drawn to Jesus by his love, so we are driven away from Jesus by our sins. But this need not be so. In the midst of their fear, they hear the Father speaking from the very cloud that caused their fear. This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. The Father loves and has chosen his Son. And if we will but listen to Jesus, we will hear that we also are loved and chosen through Jesus, despite our fears, despite our sins. For Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, where he will suffer and die for our sins and rise again to give us eternal life. Listen well to the word of Jesus, Not just a word here or there that pleases you, but to the whole word of Jesus. Hear it in the light of today so that you may remember it in the darkness of tomorrow. Jesus is always with us, but sometimes we will not see him. Just like we do not see a loving parent who may be present with us in a dark room. Jesus is always speaking to us, even though we may not always hear him, just as we sometimes do not hear a loving voice above the static of life. The reading ends with the disciples and Jesus only. Jesus, to whom the law and the prophets point, is enough for every situation. Moses and Elijah don't have to come down the mountain with them as long as Jesus comes down, because he's the fulfillment. He's the one that counts. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, is enough for now and for eternity. And when we pass from this dark and troubled world, Jesus will be enough as we pass through the valley of the shadow of death and as we enter into the kingdom of eternal life. Listen to Jesus every day on earth and see him every day in heaven. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.